You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
We have been talking about the proposed incentivizing of hiring minorities into positions of power in the NFL that the owners are reportedly going to vote on Tuesday. Pleasure to welcome in the former Jet head coach and now head coach at Arizona State, doing a terrific job there. He is Herm Edwards, generous enough to give us some time. Coach, it's Chris Carlin here in New York. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hopefully you and yours are well. It's the same way we're trying to fight this new enemy. it's been quite interesting.
Everybody healthy and safe with you, Coach?
Yes, we are. We're good. We're good. Excellent. Thanks for asking.
Just your first reaction upon seeing this idea of incentivizing hiring minorities through the draft now.
Well, it's a little bit, it's embarrassing, to be quite honest. If the league has to do that, then that's we've taken a step backwards. And I can say that as a former player and a coach. Coming into the league in 1977, there was only 8 men of color that were coaching in the league. There was 28 teams. And then from there, it kind of picked up. And now we're sitting in a spot to where everyone's scratching their head, trying to figure out there's 2 men of color that are GMs, 4 head coaches. Now, I say this with this caveat, college is not a lot better either, though. And, you know, where are the proving grounds for a lot of these guys to get these opportunities? And I think if you look at the way football has evolved thus far, when you look at the league and you think about how you go through the transition of being a coordinator to a head coach, or whether it be a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator, right now, most of the coaches that are being hired, unless he's a repeated coach like Ron Rivera, a defensive guy, they're offensive guys. Well, it starts with who's coaching the quarterback, who's calling the plays. And most of those guys are not men of color. And so right, that alone prevents you right now, because of the way the league is, quarterback friendly. Everyone's trying to coach the quarterback and wants to play offense. Those are the kind of guys that move right up the ladder very quickly. When you think about the era that I came in as a coach with Tony Dungy, Lovie Smith came off Tony's tree. I came off Tony's tree. Mike Tomlin took my spot, came off Tony's tree. Marvin was another guy that was in the league with the Pittsburgh Steelers, then the Washington, and then the coordinator at Baltimore came off a tree, a defensive tree. Ron Rivera was a defensive coach. So, you know, eras kind of change, and I think we're sitting in an era now where everything is focused on the offense. Well, who's touching those guys on the offense? It's not too many guys of color that get to coach the quarterback or call offensive play.
You know, Coach, when you see a guy like Eric Bieniemy, who was regarded as a pretty strong candidate, and he doesn't get a job this past year as an African-American who was directly involved with an offense, what do you think?
Well, the problem is most of those guys look at that and say, well, Andy Reid is a play caller. And here's another thing you got to realize when you're a minority coach. Even with the Rooney Rule, which I thought was a fantastic rule in the era that I was coming up, the problem with the Rooney Rule happened to be this. All of a sudden, let's say you get some interviews and you don't get hired because there's a mandate to hire, you know, to interview minority coaches. Well, a lot of those things were just done just to satisfy the rule, knowing that you already had the guy you wanted to hire two interviews ago. Well, the problem is if you do 2 or 3 interviews, and you don't get the job, guess what the owners are saying? Well, he's been interviewed 5 times. No one's hired him. Why should I hire him?
Well, the guy that comes to mind, not to stop you, but the guy that comes to mind is Ted Cottrell, who seemed like he went through that process quite a bit.
Yeah, and so did Ron Rivera. By the way, so did Tony Dungy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, 2020, and now all of a sudden we have to give owners incentivize them to hire minority candidates. Look, for me, I've always felt this way. The landscape of sports, it's a level playing field. It's level in the competitive playing field for the players. It should be there when you hire coaches and GMs. And we haven't found that level playing field yet, and it's a shame because that league is much better than this. But it goes back to the old story of who you know. And when these jobs slip over, the constant worry for owners is, I got a guy and I don't want to lose him. I don't want to lose him. I don't want to have to take 2 or 3 weeks interviewing potential head coaches when I can lose the guy I really want. And he has to hire a staff. So there's a lot of pressure on GMs to hire guys early and not go through the process of maybe having 3 or 4 interviews.
Coach, have you ever been in a situation where you've gone into an interview knowing that they've already got their guy and you're just going through the motions for them?
No, I've been fortunate. It's kind of funny because I've had 3 jobs. Now, one I got traded to Kansas City. The other one was in New York. And there was going to be about 2 more interviews after I had interviewed, and I felt pretty confident I was going to get the job. And then, obviously, I got hired here at Arizona. But in all 3 of those spots, guess what? I was the first minority coach. And, you know, and that's sad to say. It really is. It's 2020. I came into the National Football League in 1977. And we're still talking about this. It's kind of embarrassing, to be quite honest. We're better than that. And the league's better than that, and they know it.
How big of an insult is this for minority candidates?
Well, it just puts them in it's a situation where now all of a sudden if a guy gets hired, did he get hired because of the rule? Because of incentives? Because incentives to say, well, you can move up in the draft? I mean, you know, why do you have to do all that? Just hire the best guy. Just interview selective candidates that you look at and you've got information on, and just select the right guy. Just select the guy. And it's not about, look, it's not about hiring a minority guy. It's about hiring the right guy. That's the most important thing. Just hire the right guy. The National Football League is the standard bearer of all football. It is the standard bearer. And everything they do, everyone emulates. They look at. And when you think about the players on the field, look at the players that play the game now. Compared to when I came in the league, you look at the players and some of the positions the players play now that when I came in the league, they didn't get to play those positions. They didn't get an opportunity to play those positions. So, I mean, come on.
To put numbers to what you're talking about, and of course, we're talking to Herm Edwards, you know the voice. 75% of the players, roughly, in the league are African-American. You have African-American quarterbacks, as you're referencing right now, who have been incredibly successful. And you have 4 head coaches who are African-American. Just, I can't even begin to imagine, when you hear numbers like that, what are the emotions that come for you?
Well, that we've taken a step backwards and we've been too hurried to not let the process take care of itself and hire a guy. And look, a lot of it has to do with what tree you come off, who's the hot coach, who was the guy that came off his tree. And if you look at a lot of these hires now, and I'm not saying these guys aren't qualified, they were under guys that coached a quarterback that was successful, that became a head coach, and you turn around and guess what? You want to hire a guy off that guy's staff. Well, he happened to be a coordinator for that coach or a quarterback coach for that coach, and a lot of those guys are not men of color. Bottom line.
Well, in this, the league is trying to change that a little bit as part of it. In other words, they're actually having to incentivize hiring a minority for a quarterback coach, in which if you do a year later, if he's still the coach, you get a draft pick for that.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have to do that.
Of course not.
Hire the best coach. It's just like the National Football League is about this. It's about competition. That's what you tell the players. The players know it. Every year there's a common draft. Why? We're going to try to draft somebody to beat you out. It's about competition. Look, I'm a college coach, and I tell my players, next year, we're going to try to out-recruit you. We're going to try to out-recruit you. That's my job, is to try to out-recruit you. Create the competition. That's what the NFL is about. It's about competition. You know, get a list of guys that are good candidates and let them compete through the interview process and hire the right guy. This incentive thing is a little bit like, really? It's 2020.
Herm Edwards with us. I have to tell you, my theory about this has almost been, and I'm a bit of an idealist, Coach. I want to believe that this was a story that was leaked in advance of the owners' meetings next week to almost embarrass the owners into understanding just how bad it's gotten.
I mean, how bad does this look?
I think it looks horrible. I think it's insulting to African-American and minority candidates that it actually has to come to this, and at the same time that owners have to be embarrassed into realizing that they haven't done the right thing when it comes to this, and they've walked into too many of these interviews with their minds already made up.
Well, and here again, and a little bit of it has to do with this and the fact that they're in a hurry to hire their guy. Because they know if they wait 2 or 3 weeks and go through the interview process, a couple things happen. They might lose that guy, but also the guy needs to hire coaches. And the quicker you can hire a guy, he has the ability to get coaches, maybe off someone else's staff that's been fired, whatever it may be. And so that's part of the issue as well. Because everybody's so competitive.
Wow. Hey, Coach, what advice would you give to African-American candidates after seeing something like this?
Well, I would just say, you know, regardless of what the cloud is, if this is what they decide to do, you've waited your whole life to get an opportunity to interview and go knock it out of the park. Because until we're in a position as men of color to be GMs and coordinators, it's very difficult for the pipeline to continue to grow. For instance, I'm the head coach here at Arizona State. Well, I've hired young coaches to try to get them in position to become college coaches and to become head coaches. And from there to become, NFL guys. And Marvin Lewis is on my staff. He has the same, mindset. Antonio Pierce, who played for the Giants, is my assistant head coach. The co-defensive coordinator. I have 7 men of color that are on my staff. And they were the best candidates. And I interviewed guys, but they were the best guys. And I just think if you do it that way and take your time, it just works out. But when you're in a rush, it makes the league do this now, right? It makes the league come up with this thing. When I heard this, I went, This ain't right. This doesn't sound right. This is the NFL, by the way. This is the NFL. This is the National Football League. Are you kidding me? We shouldn't be talking about this. Just do the right thing.
If Roger Goodell called you right now and asked you what he should do, what would you tell him?
Well, I would just say, this is embarrassing for owners. It puts the minority candidate in an awkward position, feeling like, are you just giving me this deal? No one wants to be given anything. You want the ability to compete for it and to earn it on what you've done. So, it doesn't look good, does it?
I think it looks horrible.
come on.
I think it looks horrible, and that's why I almost thought it was a ploy to embarrass the owners a little bit to understand how ridiculous that it does look. Am I being a little too idealistic maybe there?
No, suggest I just think, and some people will say, oh, well, you guys, no. Look, I know one thing. I've got a right to feel the way I feel. I spent 30 years in that league. And I wasn't given anything but an opportunity, and that's all I wanted. That's all I cared about. And at times, I didn't get those opportunities for a lot of different reasons. But I never thought about anything but just keep working hard, and somebody's going to give you a chance. And I was fortunate. That league was good to me. I owe my whole life to football. I've said that. But here again, I think that sometimes when you do things because you think you're trying to help, it almost puts you in a position where it's like, this doesn't look right. It just doesn't look right. It doesn't sound right. I mean, draft choices? What? Really? I mean, how's that conversation going to go on talk shows and on social media
when they hire a guy? Oh, they got a couple draft picks. Come on. They moved up in the draft. How does that sound?
Awful. Awful.
Oh, goodness.
Your opinion. Herm Edwards with us, of course. You know the voice all too well. He is the head coach at Arizona State and former coach of the Jets. How come more African-American candidates have not gotten GM jobs or football operations jobs?
Yeah, that's another thing. That's a head scratcher. It always has been. And I think it kind of starts there, you know, because it's all about, it's just like in life, it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? And when you get in those circles, then you have an opportunity to be seen. Look, I was very fortunate. Paul Cagliabue, when he was the commissioner, I was the assistant head coach for Tony Dungy. He was grooming me to become a head coach. I was never an offensive or defensive coordinator. I was an assistant head coach, and I was invited to the owners' meeting. And they put me on a panel. So I could talk about certain things in the league with other head coaches. So they put me in position of those owners where they watched me interact with other head coaches and with ownership. And so it was almost like an interview process before I even became a head coach. So I can't thank Coach Technical enough for allowing me to do that. And the owners for allowing me to be there.
So what does somebody who's trying to be a GM do in that case? Is it just, is it as simple as, you know, start kissing the right ass, to put it any other way?
No, I think there's always, you know, there's always this place of, do you bring a young guy and give him a position of learning how to become a GM? And you start from the ground level, and then they work up. You know, GMs just don't grow up being GMs. They start in the scouting part, and they work their way up the ladder. I mean, that's how that works for the most part. And you're given an opportunity. That's the function of the league. You know, you start from the bottom and you work your way up. You work your way up as a position coach generally from somewhere. You just didn't grow up being the coordinator. You worked your way up. And I just think when we can do that, then it helps. And now this would help too. You need to be on a team that's winning. Because everybody wants the formula of how you win when you're from a winning team, right? And when you look at some of the guys that have been hired thus far, now Ron is a good friend. He's been a head coach before. Okay, but a lot of these young guys, they've come off somebody else's tree that was a successful head coach. And they're either a quarterback coach or they were a coordinator. And they don't happen to be men of color. That's not their fault. They were qualified candidates and they hired them. Good for them.
Herm Edwards with us. All right, I got two last ones for you. As you have said, you want to hire the right guy. So
yes.
if an owner comes to you and asks you, what should I be looking for here in a head coach, what would you
yes.
tell them?
He's got to be a leader. He's got to be a builder of men. He's got to be a leader. The most important thing. And he's got to be a servant. All great leaders serve. They serve their team. When I first took the job here at Arizona State, all these kids knew who I was. I said, you know what? I got to earn your trust. Let me earn it. You serve them. They don't serve you. Got to be a great communicator. Got to be a great communicator. Because they have so many personalities in the National Football League. And you're dealing with so many people. You got to be a great communicator. You got to be a motivator, however you motivate. You know, and everybody motivates different. Will the team follow you? The team's got to be able to follow you. When it's good and bad, that's leadership, and it's consistent. When it's good and when it's bad, it's consistent guy. That's what players want. Players want this. No coach in the history of coaching any sport has ever given a player talent. God gave him talent. They want to know, in that league, what can this coach do to keep me in the league? How can this coach make me better? How can he keep me in the league? That's what I want to know. And when you sell that, guess what? You got a shot.
Last one, is there anything on this issue that we haven't touched on that you feel like is important that you want to make sure to mention?
No, I just think it'll be debated. It's going to be on the worldwide leader. Wait till you see what happens Monday, right? This is a talking point.
No doubt.
So there'll be a lot of talking. There'll be a lot of different opinions. You know, some say it'll be a great idea. Some say it won't. You know, it's just funny that has gotten to this, where this is the best league in football, and they have to do this in 2020. Should be that hard to figure out.
Coach, can't thank you enough for your time. And, you know, all you have to do is listen to you, and this is about as good of a recruiting pitch as you can make, period. Just hearing you talk and the way that you deliver your message. Continued success at Arizona State, and we appreciate the time so much.
Thank you, my friend, and be well, and God bless all those folks in New York. Stay safe.
You too, Coach. Herm Edwards. I mean, it's amazing the way he can just put that all together and put it into incredible perspective.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.